Goldie and Tausch begins now. Jesse, I know you're excited to get to Power Rankings Tuesday, but I did have a question about something I was seeing on social media after Contreras' home run. The celebration.
The phone.
Is that, yeah, is that Craig Counsell calling the bullpen? Saw a few people conjecturing that. Is that what that was?
I don't think that's what that was. I thought it was
Put a phone up.
Yeah, it was a phone, and then he like slammed the phone down. And I thought it was just like, I mean, there's been
What do you think that means?
I don't know. Like, he's just slamming the phone down.
Jesse,
like,
I went to you thinking you would.
First off, he's not 70 years old. He's not back in the old days where you're slamming. Like, itself, when you at worst, you're flipping.
Well, yeah, but no one's going to, if you hit a home run, a moonshot, the first thing, you're not going to go boom and, like, tap it. Like,
why?
No one's going to do that. You got, like, it's a fun hand gesture. You know, big,
right.
Emphatic slam it down. I loved it. It was awesome. I don't know if there was any hidden meaning to it or not. I don't think he said anything about it after the game from what I saw. So
He's strong like a bull now. He's strong like a bull. He is, man. I don't know how many years do we have. How many more years do we have him? I think we got one more year with him, right? As a, on a player.
Before, because we're a small market team, we have to trade
well,
him. Well,
hopefully he's somebody that we could keep. He feels like he's the heart and soul of this team.
He does.
And if he wants to throw the horn up and do whatever, if he's telling Counsell, call the bullpen, baby, you all need somebody else to come in here, I'm on board with it. I like
it. Yeah, if that's what, again, I thought maybe, you know, a guy who's a descendant of
I feel like Jesse's Brewers, like, I really thought you had a Brewers PhD. Not a player hating degree. No. I want you to be our Brewers everything. And when I ask you a Brewers question, you're always kind of like, because of the you have a strong Brewers lineage.
I do.
Lineage,
your dad,
great word.
Was an usher
15.
For 25 years.
15, but pretty
was
close.
Only 15?
If you're rounding up, it's 25.
Did Braves games.
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Jesse or I both. I mean, you obviously saw it, and then he did the old flexeroni and his was a no-doubter. I mean, Jesse's seat, you saw it from the jump. You knew that one was gone, too. He just, man, I feel like he is the embodiment of what Brewers baseball
is. So, wait, Joe, what is going on in our text chain?
So, I don't want to go to the bullpen like Craig Counsell here, but it appears that Josh DiMaggio has a much bigger clue than
he knows
about what's going on.
Should we start putting Josh as our producer extraordinaire Brewers expert?
If you want.
Well, I want you.
You're not filling the void.
I feel like you are our Brewers expert, and you're...
When we don't have Dom Catronio or Jeff Levering or Jeff Passan.
Or Brian Anderson.
You are our Brewers expert.
I mean, no offense to Josh, and he's here now. He can talk. Josh just has more time to surf Twitter and see the things that they're sharing where they're comparing these two videos.
You had off all day yesterday.
Well, he didn't do it yesterday morning.
You literally couldn't have more time.
I didn't go to the future to see
Gel,
his tweet
Gel,
that
don't
didn't
get
exist
mad.
At the time.
Let's not get mad. All right, Big Cat, explain what happened.
Tell us, rankings Tuesday.
Tell us what this, how this all played out.
I mean... Mr. Take Vacation
for
8 p.m.
I can't believe
over here.
He went there.
I got time.
He acts like,
I was up at 4 in the morning.
He acts like Big Cat in out there grinding. And now all of a sudden, Big Cat doing research about the Brewers, which is
I
like.
I went to bed last night.
You understand, Big Cat, like this is his job and he's searching?
11.
And now you're denigrating him by saying he's got too much free time? Big Cat, let us hear what's Jesse.
I drive.
Stop
Joe.
Putting your hands on your hips.
I'm
like
irritated.
You're, stop being a petulant child
it.
Like PCA.
I drive up north, Joe, all the way back to his place, all the way back
all
home
the way up
for
north?
Me.
You went up to Rhinelander last
night? I know,
night?
Right? 1:37 in the morning, I pull in the garage. The
then
dog
he went down
to
his buddy's
to
place
out.
And picked up his dogs. All right, Big Cat, explain what Contreras was doing last night.
Yeah, so for the real Brewers people around here and pay attention and take note of these things, we'll remember back on July 29th when Andrew Vaughn hit a grand slam against the Chicago Cubs in the middle of a battle for the division. As soon as Vaughn made contact with the ball, Craig Counsell turned around, picked up the bullpen phone,
I remember this
and then
even.
Hung it up very shortly after.
One of the best videos of the year.
Then, after William Contreras, October 6th, that's yesterday, Jesse. I know you don't have a lot of time for stuff like that, but
for
in case
calendars.
You forgot, yesterday, last night, after hitting a home run and admiring it for a long time, William Contreras looks into the Cubs bench, picks up a phone, and then immediately hangs it up. He said, though, after, you probably missed this as well, Jesse.
I did.
He said after he was calling Brewers fans, and he will always pick up the phone for them. That seems like
yeah, nobody's believing
not
that. Yeah.
Not for a split second.
I'll admit that is the only thing I saw on Twitter about it was someone sharing that that's what he said the celebration was, which is why I thought it wasn't any hidden meaning. I did not see the tweet. Josh
but
saw
it. It is
now
amazing how petty athletes are, isn't it? Like, it's amazing. That is awesome. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh,
thanks,
for doing
Josh.
Some research and bringing that. That was really good.
Oh, you.
Well, I'm not. What? Big Cat. That's bad. Big Cat also gave me another book recommendation.
Oh.
Big Cat.
He's the best. Jesse, do you want to cover your NFL power rankings now?
Well, if I hadn't spent
so
much
like
time
that?
Looking up the power
Jason,
rankings.
Jason, do you like that?
I do. I do.
So you'd be fine if that happened with PCA?
Yeah. I mean, again, it was a viral moment that Craig was part of. I think Craig gets what the reference is. I would hope that he would be not a good sport about it, but certainly not be irritated about it. I mean,
I love somebody asked Craig Counsell after last night's game, did he think that Miz and somebody
this.
Else are going to be great pros? It's like, who love the fact that they asked that question because it's like, what do you think
so
Counsell's going to say?
Let me go home.
I want to get on to Hiawatha and head home.
Well, that's we knew they'd be major leaguers, he said, something to that effect. Yeah. Okay.
I love that everyone's piling on this rivalry. Like the celebration, the booing from the fans.
Go boo in a bar.
I loved all of it.
Do you think right now, the Lions are obviously a big rival with the G&G, the Vikings and Bears always. There's nothing close to. And is it just for this stretch, or is this now in the yearly landscape of Wisconsin sports? Is it Brewers-Cubs, the top heated rivalry in all of sports?
Jesse?
Personally, I say yes.
Jason? Well, you're not a fan.
I think the Counsell piece of this ratchets it up, and you made the point while also saying that it's not exactly the same. But the Favre Vikings-Packers rivalry during that time just feels so much more intense than anything during my time of covering the Packers. Like that two-year window, the intensity was off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels to me, again, I'm not Jesse, I don't have the lineage.
I think after we buried him, is that at Lambeau? The one we went up to Minneapolis, that was anticlimactic.
I would agree, but the fever pitch that it hits.
Oh, 09 fever pitch at. God,
the image of him with the Metrodome crowd exploding behind him and him like a.
Jesse's so happy. That's when he was a big Viking fan.
Since I finally seen Gladiator, it was just like him as a gladiator celebrating a touchdown. That image is burned into my memory. And I was at that game.
Yeah, Jesse loved that.
But
he?
My point is that that was an existing rivalry. You guys had some great rivalry moments with them in like 03, 04. There was the 04 year where Ryan Longwell hit
walk-off.
That's
disgusting!
Field goals in both games, and then you guys end up losing to them in the playoff game.
Yeah, I know.
It was really intense.
Yes, it was.
And that ratcheted up. It feels to me like the Cubs rivalry, game 163, all that stuff, that was intense already. But now they're playing each other in the NLDS, the former manager went to Chicago. Like, even I can identify, even though I don't have a father who was a usher, that it's just so much more intense. It's more than Packers Bears. It's more than Packers Vikings or Lions. It's more than Bucks and Pacers, which felt like there was some bad blood there. And now the Bucks have poached.
Well, now it's New York and the Bucks.
Players.
It's going to be the New Yorkers,
especially when Giannis is playing for New York. So yes, I don't think there's any. I don't even think there's anything close to it right now. Not Wisconsin, Minnesota.
No, I think Green Bay, Detroit is close. I think, and as this thing continues to unfold, no, I do. I mean, you can shake your head.
Competitive wise, sure, but like the fan component of this.
Amon St. Brown has been. I hate Green Bay. Like there is a lot of vitriol bubbling, and I'm telling you, I think that Thanksgiving game is going to be a bubbler, and then I would bet. I just got a hunch. Donuts to dollars. It's going to come down to the G&G in Detroit in the playoffs.
I think if we start to get moments like that, where there's a Thanksgiving, you know, walk-off.
Well, if there wasn't a playoff series with these two teams, this would not be to the same degree. It would be intense, but not this ratcheted.
No,
playoffs ratchet.
It does, but it already existed.
But it wasn't ratcheted.
I agree with actually both of you.
You can't do that. It's one of the
I
other.
Can because
you're reporting that
if the Packers
shut up.
If the Packers and Lions split the season series,
yep.
Let's say they lose on Thanksgiving,
yep.
And then they play each other in the playoffs.
It'll be ratcheted. Thank you.
Ratcheted.
Yes.
But I agree with Jesse that it's not there. I mean, the Lions had won three in a row in Wisconsin after that, like, 20-year stretch where they never
won
here.
Of it.
If you ask any Packers fan right now who's the Packers' biggest rival,
the Lions.
They're not going to say the Lions.
Yes, they will.
If you live in the northern or the western part of the
state,
you're going to say the Vikings.
Not in general. This is a 2025 question. Not a historical. Historical, it's Bears, Vikings. We all know that. 2025, it's the Lions. And if it's not, get with the program. They're the impediment to this they're the impediment to us getting where we want to go.
You're right.
This isn't a hard question.
Have I ever told you guys about my three-pronged Venn diagram for rivalries?
Wouldn't it be circles?
Whatever. You got geography in one.
Unfortunately, you haven't.
You got geography in one.
Just wait a second. I want to draw this.
Okay,
right.
Please do.
Okay.
So three circles with the middle all connecting, kind of looks like a shield in the middle. So one is geography, one is history, and one is current competition. And the best rivalries are when all three of those convene in the middle. So like Packers-Seahawks a decade ago was competitive in the moment, but they're not close to each other geographically, and there wasn't a ton of history between the two. Packers-Bears in the NFC Championship game when that happened in 2011. Like, that was...
What was the last one? Competitive what?
Current competitiveness.
Current competitiveness. CC.
So geography, current competitiveness, and history.
So if I'm power ranking that, I'm going history, geography, current competitiveness. That's how I'm power ranking the importance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so then Packers Lions would be pretty low on the list because
it borders us. Some of us think we should have the UP. So there's actually land proxy
don't bring
going
the
on.
UP into this.
There's land proxy.
Proxy.
The only thing that's struggling in history, if you're talking current history, the last 3 years is the most. That's where we're at. It fits your little Zen Den Pen diagram. Like, it covers it.
Zen Den Pen?
The only thing the Bears got is history and geography. And what, because there's more populace is over on the south side? Is that why you think that?
Partly, yeah. The Lions, there's no doubt, the Lions are more competitive
the
right
Bears
now.
The Bears conceded when Rodgers threw an ownership belt on them. They knowingly said, I hate it, but he's right.
Yeah, you're
right
about that.
I hate it, but he's right. Mm-hmm. That takes the current competitiveness way out of it. And from a history standpoint, their history hadn't been good since Favre took over.
But Ben Johnson showing up
Minnesota
there talking trash
is your bigger
right
argument. And Minnesota was 14 and whatever last year.
Yeah.
You want to have that argument, I can have it.
Which is why I would say Minnesota currently is the Packers' biggest rival still, more so than the Lions, if you're looking at the entire context, not just who are the two best teams in
the
NFC
North. Who run the North the last 2 years? Was it Minnesota?
The Detroit Lions.
Do they share a border? No, I'm asking.
I mean,
do they share a border?
Detroit is very far east compared to where Chicago is to the south border of Wisconsin. If we really want to get down,
if you take a ferry, it ain't that far. What's the name of that ferry that goes across? Beautiful. It's a beautiful ferry. Everything you just mentioned in your little Venn diagram.
You like that, don't you?
Venn diagram would illustrate that it would be the Detroit Lions. And that, if things ratchet up and go the way I think, will surpass the Cubs in 2026.
I find it amazing that we've a Brewers discussion and about the intensity of the Brewers-Cubs rivalry has now spawned what I believe has to be a poll question about the Packers' biggest rival
now. It has to be only 2025.
Right. For this year, who is the Packers' biggest rival?
For 2025.
That is this year.
Okay. The Bears finished dead last. It's not close.
Yeah, if you're specifying just
that's what he said.
I didn't say historically, Jell. Come on.
But I'm saying Brewers-Cubs, where this all started. Brewers-Cubs. There are the time frames line up over the last two decades of when both teams have been good. To 2008, the 2018, game 163, and now
just do
again
this. Just do this. Craig Counsell's been managing the Cubs. This is his second season, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Last two seasons, what is a more intense rivalry? Cubs-Brewers, Lions-Packers.
Cubs-Brewers
will win it's because we're close. All caught up in Brewer mania.
It would win anyway.
Huh?
It would win anyway.
The Cubs didn't knock us out. They didn't take the crown from us. We've the division champs the last 2 years.
Our manager said, blank this. I can't win here. I'm going to go to the arch rival.
And we beat them
twice.
It's like
Brett Bielema leaving. Except even worse. Because he's one of us.
Yeah.
Bielema was a Hawkeye. All right. Speaking of, not this year. I guess it's next year in July. But I've gotten a ton of positive feedback. I've also got a ton of feedback on saying Edinburgh wrong for the castle. So I appreciate that as well. But we are super excited about this. You can join us July 5th on our journey through the lovely landscapes of England, Scotland, and Wales. With Colette. We'll take in the charm of the countryside and the history of the great cities. Imagine standing before Big Ben in London next to me, of all people. Then later, gazing out from Edinburgh Castle. So rich in history, it feels like stepping back in time. Along the way, we'll explore the storybook villages of Chester and Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon, places where every street seems to whisper a piece of history. And how about that scenic train ride we're going to take through the rolling hills that lead us right into the medieval...
You better yodel. If you're rolling through the hills on a train, you better be yodeling.
The hills are alive with the sound of medieval. It's all part of this incredible journey. Iconic landmarks, cozy villages, bustling city streets, peaceful countrysides. You'll experience all of it. The very best of Britain's history, culture, and beauty. And create memories that last a lifetime. Here's all you got to do. Text the word travel to 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. And also, what's the biggest rivalry in Wisconsin sports right now? Travel, 844-770-3776, or just go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com, ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com for full details. Again, we had Homer on last week. He said this about his trip to Ireland. They are phenomenal. I cannot wait for this. I'm extremely excited, and I hope you'll be excited to join us with Colette. All right. I don't think we're going to get to Power Rankings Tuesday, because I do, speaking of this rivalry, I do want Jesse to play what Murph said yesterday. I thought this answer was really, really good. I thought he really did a good job of walking the line. You'll hear it next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jesse, you had this clip set aside. We'll have to wait for our NFL power rankings.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
We'll do it tomorrow.
I think the Chiefs are done.
Yeah, we'll run out of time then, too. But what did you make of this? And play this clip, because I saw this last night, too. I was impressed by this from your guy, Pat Murphy.
I hate it. You know, like, it's none of my business, but I know this. They never boo a bum. You know what I mean? You're getting booed, you're good at something. And I hate it because I know how much he loves Milwaukee. I know how much he loves the city. He loves the state. You know, there's no one that's more fond of the high school athletic performances than Craig. He follows the guys in basketball, football, baseball, women's basketball. He follows all of it, and this is his residence, and he's you know, in my mind, you know, but fans will be fans. They're fanatics, so they do what they do, and people pile on and that type of thing. But you know, I think he's above that, and he knows they never boo a bum. So Manny Machado comes here, they boo him every time, and you know, he hits a homer or two. So, you know, like, it doesn't affect the great ones. And, you know, I think the fans will come around someday. So then I do.
Do you think the fans will come around someday?
As long as they don't win a championship.
Right. That's the Favre thing, like you said earlier in the week or late last week.
Literally exactly what I said. I agree. And, Jesse, I think you should put that next to the boo in a bar. You never
boo in a
boo
bar.
A bum.
They don't boo a bum.
Like, those are both great booing.
Go boo in a bar.
It's just fun booing.
They don't boo a bum.
I mean, Pat Murphy obviously has a, you know, he's coached and worked and been a part of Craig Council's life for a long time. I like to act as if he's going to have the same vitriol. It also gave Pat Murphy the opportunity of a lifetime.
Right.
So Pat Murphy has a lot of gratitude for Craig Council. So he's not going to feel the same way as Jelly up in Section 221 last night. Like, he's not. And that's good. That's the reality of sport.
Right.
So I don't have any problem with both sides. Jell can be as mad as he wants to be at Craig Council. He got booed vociferously last night. It was awesome. And I think Craig Council understands all that. But if Craig Council doesn't win with the Chicago Cubs, and then he ends up retiring, he will have his name. I don't know what they all do. He won't be up in the rafters per se, but he'll be in their Hall of Fame. Craig Council has left a huge mark on the best era of Milwaukee Brewers baseball. Now Pat Murphy is just riding through. He's taking it over. But yes, now if they come back, or if the Cubs end up knocking out and they win a couple of chips and the Brewers never do, I don't think they will welcome him back. I don't.
Yeah, I tend to agree. That's the whole... Look, you say a lot of smart things on the show.
Thanks.
I'm reporting that right now. But the idea of Brett Favre, who, in the eyes of many, can do no wrong. Like, he has been, as we said, Teflon for a lot of Packers fans. Doesn't matter. Like, when he was calling Matt Millen with trying to give him information to help him beat the Packers when he was with the Lions and Favre was with the Jets.
Now, if he did that with Dan Campbell and the new administration, he'd probably have more success. That Lions team, he would have had a – Brett would have done a lot more.
But if he wins a Super Bowl with the Vikings, that to me is the one bridge too far, because even though he played for the Vikings, it still wasn't enough to deter people from loving him as Packers fans.
And leaving the G&G.
Right. And so I just think it's one of the smartest things you've said. It seems obvious, but that is the game changer. And I think, and we had him on a couple times after that.
I asked him every time.
His line was, well, we never have to find out, which is a tacit acknowledgement that you're 1,000,000% right.
That is correct.
And I think you're probably right about Craig Counsell, and we'll see if they ever have to find that out too. Or if they're on their next 100 years of not winning a World Series. Taush, have you been dabbling with Prize Picks during the Brewers-Cubs series, or do you want to keep that separate with your fandom and your winnings because it's good to be right?
It is good to be right. I didn't last night. I wish I would have. I would have went runs in, you know, the first inning. I don't know if I would have went with Miz. I don't know. The tough part is, how do they even know? Probably real tricky with some of the maneuverings of Pat J. Murphy.
Could have done a Priester more, and you would have lost.
If I went less. But it's fun from the baseball playoffs to regular season football. Now we got hockey kicking off. There's preseason NBA basketball on. Everything. This is the golden age month-wise for sports. Everything is in play, and Prize Picks is the best way to cash in while watching your favorite teams in your favorite sports. Which players are going off? Which ones are overhyped? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds, and you can turn all of your takes into cold, hard cash. It's simple to play. Pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get it right, you cash in. They also, Prize Picks now offers stacks. You could pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. So if you think Giannis isn't getting traded to New York and he's staying with the Bucks, you go, oh, more rebounds and assists and points. You can do that. Can get into the pitching, Major League Baseball, all of it. Prize Picks also offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this season. Join millions of users. Sign up for America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the Prize Picks app today and use that code WI. It gets you $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, man, it is good to be right.
Woe Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Taush.
This is Wildy and Taush, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse, I know you've had a tough day today after yesterday you took the day off for no apparent reason. I don't feel like I should be getting programming.
What did you two do all day yesterday? You and your 32-year-old buddy with a dog. What did you guys do all day?
We watched a movie in the morning. We went to a we went and got coffee with a little cinnamon pretzel. It was delightful.
You watched a movie?
Yeah.
Where'd you guys watch a movie? On your
was
couch?
It a rom-com?
Yeah, on our couch. Yeah. No, it was comedy. I forgot what it was called. Detective comedy kind of thing.
I understand. You got
sounds
a lot
like
on
a
your
wonderful
plate.
Monday.
It was kind of a gloomy morning. Or just kind of lounging. Sunday night, we watched the Mariners game. We went out to one of the sports bars in town. Had some Coors Lights. Watched his family's a big Mariners family, so he's kind of connected to them. So we
was
watched
he in
that.
Town for a reason or just to see it?
Just to visit.
So he came in Sunday. You guys took off work to lay around
to
with a blankie to watch a movie, and then he left in the afternoon on Tuesday.
Box of or on Girl Monday. Scout yeah, cookies.
He left around 1, and then I got on the road around 2. Enjoy it. Yeah. That was our day.
All right.
Anyway,
no judgment here. I don't get it, but no judgment.
Well, what I am going to judge, I don't feel like I should be finding out about ESPN programming from Levi in Plover in the YouTube comments, but apparently Murphy is going to be on Pat McAfee today.
Oh, nice.
Which I feel like that's something that someone on our team should know, as opposed to Levi telling me. Just my thought.
I feel like Pat Murphy and Mike McCarthy would get along. Pat should introduce them.
Well, I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah.
Let's see if we like Wonelli.
He won't.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Wonelli!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Tausch, since I'm so bad at preparation, I don't know how much prep you did watching any highlights of Jaguars Chiefs on Monday Night Football last night while we were at the game. Are you up to speed on what transpired?
I know the gist of it, yeah.
Would you like to let everyone know what happened in the game last night, Ben?
Well, Pat Mahomes threw a bad interception. The Chiefs pulled ahead early, and Jacksonville won late on one of the goofiest plays I've ever seen. You know how Ben Johnson did the fake fumble, Jordan Love stumble, bumble, and throw? Well, Trevor Lawrence similarly fell on it, got up, nobody was there, and he stumbles in the end zone to score the game-winning tutter against the Chiefs. And I still think the Chiefs are going to be a player. I said Denver's going to win the division. You guys know I've been on Denver.
You did
all.
Say that. Yes, you did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Don't comp the Chiefs out yet, is all I would say. Nut whack.
What about Jacksonville?
They're
4-1. And their only losses to Cincinnati when Burrow was playing.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville will end up with 8 or 9 wins. I like that coach is funny. That whole Duval thing, that cracked me up. I like
Duval.
I think he's funny.
Whoa, Nelly!
Boy, that's good. Pete Crow Armstrong fella. He was really mad after the game.
No, he's petulant.
Petulant.
Petulant Pete.
Petulant Pete, I've heard that.
Huh? Whoa, Nelly!
I think we have a new candidate who has emerged as potentially the first NFL head coach to get fired midseason.
Oh, no.
Arizona's.
Jonathan Gannon of the Arizona Cardinals, who the Packers play not this week, but the following week. He was irate with DeMercado, the running back who let go of the football, crossing the goal line early, ultimately leading to the Tennessee Titans' big double-digit comeback victory for their first win of the Cam Ward era this season. In Arizona, the Cardinals have now dropped back-to-back games against the Seahawks and the Titans in excruciating fashion, and they are 2-3. He apologized in a team meeting yesterday for how he handled getting after DeMercado on the sideline on Sunday afternoon. Do we like the backtrack? Like, was that unacceptable, or... should he have been that mad because his dude ended up costing them a game because of something
stupid?
Well,
there's been different reports. I'll be dead honest. I've heard what has been said, that he punched DeMercado allegedly. I didn't see that, so I can't comment on that. But you can't hit. You can't do it. You can. I'm all right with a jersey tug to pull in, but any. You have to. You can't. And I understand his frustration. And it was an incredibly selfish play by DeMercado, cost him the game. And you know, it's hard because we all make mistakes. And I think everybody can live with high effort, energy mistakes. Stuff is going to happen. I don't understand why players do that. And now the question I have is, if they were going to cut this kid, can you now because of this? It's a mess, and I agree. I don't think you better have a lot of pelts on the wall from a coach standpoint if you're going to weather this storm.
Yeah, and he doesn't. And my question for you, Tausch, because I saw this and I did look at he does put his hands on him. I don't know if he like slaps him or punches him, but he definitely touches
him. No, I think he punched him.
Appears allegedly to make contact is allegedly how it's written in the
story. Yeah, I mean, I just watched the video again. Like, I don't know what he's doing. But it's still okay for an NFL head coach to get in his face and scream at him and tell him what a blankety-blank-and-blankin' moron he is for doing that, right? Like, where's the line? Like, is it
physical violence?
Is it the physical?
Yes.
If he never lays hands on
nobody would say a word.
He just got screamed at and deservedly so. Yeah. You would argue.
Listen, man, I am not going to tell someone else how to coach. I think that, you know, the kid knows he screwed up, but you can't. I think actually the better play there is you try and control your emotions and then you cut the kid after the game. That to me is better than what just occurred.
Yeah. Again, it looks like there's definitely contact. I don't know. I'm not comfortable saying that he definitely hits him, but
yeah, make sure you just say allegedly after it, and then you're clear.
And then you're covered. Yeah,
correct. That's I don't know why that's how this world works, but that's they say in the business that's how it works.
Allegedly. Well, we're gonna allegedly wrap up the show next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Time management has been poor, so we need to get out of here, but at least I'm going quickly in the final 20 seconds, unlike in that tie with the Cowboys. We've got time for Dale's comment in the YouTube. A little less Jesse could go a long way. We leave you with that thought. We'll do it again tomorrow.
I took yesterday off and everyone got after me.
Have a great day. That's exactly why I brought it up. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.